We definitely wanted to utilize what we have in the form of technology to come together. And like I said earlier, for those of you who just joined in, the goal today is for us to be able to just get a little dialogue going. I don't want to do all the talking, but definitely want to just guide the discussion. I want you to be able to put your comments in and really talk about what it is. What is vision and how does it guide your life? But let's pray and we're going to go ahead and get started. Father God, thank you so much just for this opportunity. Thank you for the ways that you allow us to come together, allow us to still have an opportunity to worship you, to talk about your desires for our lives, God, and ultimately the ways that you work in and through us in this world. God, we thank you for all the things that have come from even this time, you know, this unexpected snowfall or just even the opportunities we've had to fellowship with one another. God, I pray that this time will be beneficial as we look on Facebook Live. God, and we pray that you'll be honored through this time. In your son's name, pray. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Everyone joining us. For those of you not in Atlanta, we had a little snowfall this weekend, and so it altered our plans just a little bit, but we are online on Facebook Live, and today we're talking about vision. We want to talk about what is vision and how does it guide our lives. So if you haven't already, go ahead and share this Facebook Live, just like if we were at church on a Sunday morning, you know, the routine where you go in, and since you're already on Facebook, I know you're on Facebook, go ahead and hit share and share it with your friends. Those that may not be in town, share with your friends and, you know, allow us to have a great discussion. We got a few answers already from the pen question. Nate said, vision is the image of what we plan or hope to see ourselves and how that aligns with God's plan. And it's also how to get there. And Keegan says, vision is preferred future. Ms. Louisa says, to me, vision is opening the eyes of your heart and allowing God's vision for your life to guide your path. You become his instrument and live for him. And that's a great answer. I love that answer so much. Because really vision, sometimes we can have our own vision. We can have the desires we have for ourselves. And ultimately, when we start following Jesus, our vision has to become God's vision for us. And sometimes those don't necessarily always align. Good morning. Good morning. So wanted to go live just so we can have an opportunity to still come together and really just talk about what it means to have vision. We've had a few things going on this year, one of which we've been talking about gratitude and being thankful. And that's something that we've been covering over the last few weeks. Last weekend, the Marys got to go to Windshape Retreat and be thankful for their spouses. And, you know, a week before that, Angel preached about being thankful for heaven. And so really, this week, we're going to take a slight break from the thankful series. You know, talk about vision. You know, vision is really, as Keegan said, one of my favorite versions, one of my favorite definitions of vision is preferred future. When we have a preferred future, we kind of know where we want to go. It's kind of like when you put your location in your GPS and you put in the address that you're trying to get to, you are able to find the best route to your destination when you you know where you're going. And so we understand as a church, our church, the path, we have a mission to seek, save, and send people out on the mission. And so because that's our mission, what we do is kind of guided by that. But our vision is also aligned with our mission. And so I believe that in order to buy into the mission and the vision as a church, I think it's important for us to have vision for ourselves. If we don't have vision for ourselves, sometimes it's very difficult to buy into anybody else's vision and a vision that we may have elsewhere externally. And so I want to ask you guys, what are some vision? What's the vision you have for yourselves? What's some vision you have for yourselves? I like that answer, Tina. Vision is the light at the end of the tunnel. All right. What is some vision we have for ourselves? Vision we have for ourselves. And while we're answering that, I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29:18 says, in some versions it says, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. And other versions says, where there's no vision, people perish. And I always grew up hearing this and really didn't know what it meant. But a good thing to think about is, what happens when you don't have vision? What do we do when we don't know where we're going? Usually what tends to happen is we can tend to wander around. We can meander. We tend to just kind of find ourselves in so many different places, to the point where if we don't have vision, we can end up far away from where we think we wanted to be, even if where we wanted to be wasn't clear. And so vision is that clarity that allows us to know where we're going and to move forward and make decisions according to where we're trying to go. You know, whether it's financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, you know, our vision helps us to make decisions. It helps us to say no to certain things. It helps us to say yes to certain things. You know, personally for me in my life, just over the last couple of years, I've come to realize that there are things that I have to say no to because of my preferred future. My preferred future is to preach on six continents. My preferred future is to preach the word. And so over the last couple of years, I've had to make decisions. I've had job offers in other cities. I've had opportunities that come up, but they weren't preaching. And so because I'm very clear on what my preferred future is when it comes to desiring to preach, and I feel like God is making some things clear in that, then I was able to say no to those job offers, and God opened up opportunities and doors. And so, you know, I just wanted to share with you a couple of things from that, because this year, some of you have heard me talk about it before. You know, I have this thing called a passion planner. You know, some of us may not like planners. Some of us may think planners are old school, but I will tell you one thing. 2 years ago, I started. 2 years ago, I started working with passion planner, and a couple years ago, I started using it. And what it did was, it allowed me to name my goals. It allowed me to write down those things that I wanted and what my preferred future was. And in essence, it allowed me to streamline my perspectives, allowed me to streamline my decisions. And so this year, I started the year off, and on January 2nd, I wrote down a few things. You know, it makes you break it down into a one-year goal, three-month goal, three-year goal, and lifetime goals. And so some of my lifetime goals were to provide a scholarship to preach on six continents, or at least eight countries outside of the U.S. One of my one-year goals was to train leaders. And some of my three-month goals were to drop 20 pounds. I did that, praise God. But also to graduate. And one of the biggest game changers for me was to graduate from undergrad before my son started middle school. And that was important for me because over the years, I've had quite a few obstacles and things that have, kind of derailed my focus, some things that haven't necessarily gone as planned. But this year, when I wrote down my goals and my vision, one of the things that really stuck with me was that I really wanted to finish school right before my son finished elementary school and started middle school. And so I enrolled in school. I this past semester in the spring, I took a full load, a full course load, and it wasn't easy. Leading ministries, was in school full time, and even in the midst of that, my goal was to make a 4.0. So as the semester was going, I started having stress headaches every day. I started really feeling very anxious about this particular goal and where I wanted to go. And in the midst of this, at the same time, my parents were going through a divorce. I still had my responsibilities within the church and my marriage and fatherhood and everything. And so what I want to say is that even though my goal was a 4.0 semester, I ended up with a 3.13 on the semester. Now, for me, and I'm sure for many of you, perfectionism can be a terrible Achilles heel. For me, I'm a perfectionist. I want everything to turn out perfectly. I want things to go well all the time. And that wasn't the case. You know, things will go wrong in life. So at the end of the semester, after I assessed my goals and the vision I had, I realized that it was okay that I didn't get a 4.0 semester, because really I'm already in my dream job. So it really wasn't because I was working to get to a certain point to get that dream job out of school. But what getting a 3.13 on the semester in light of everything else I had going on emotionally, I realized that with that vision, it helped me to keep pushing, because honestly, there were some days when I did not want to go to class. There were some days that I didn't want to do my homework. There were days I would leave meetings and D groups and studies and come home and be up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning doing homework. And really the thing that kept pushing me was the fact that I wanted to finish school before my son started middle school and ended elementary school. And so, like I said, I want to hear some of your vision. What are some things that you want to accomplish spiritually, emotionally, physically? You know, if you got those health goals, and if you set out at the beginning of this year, what were some things that prevented you from reaching those goals that you had? I see Keegan posted he had a 1-year coaching business vision and to bring on a partner and help him coach to the business. And so that's Keegan just started his own coaching business in the entertainment industry. And that's awesome, you know, just being able to follow your passions and things that you love to do. And really, if you've never thought about your vision and you've never written it down and put it on paper, you may not necessarily have an idea of where you truly want to go and how you can streamline that process. It's not always the easiest thing to do, because like I said, there are times when hardship will come. One of my goals this semester, or this year, this fall, was to put out a scholarship. It was one of my lifetime goals, but I felt like I wanted to start this year for my 30th birthday. And truth be told, the day that I announced it was actually a couple of days before I lost one of my closest friends. And really, one of the things that I realized as I waded through the emotions, the thoughts, the frustrations and challenges of, you know, just putting the vision out there and carrying it out, was that I realized that hardship and difficulty and obstacles will come. And really, it's about how we're going to respond when those obstacles come. Our timelines are different. You know, we all have different things that we want to accomplish, and those things will be faced with opportunities to change your mind, opportunities to quit, opportunities to give up on the preferred future. And adversity will be the thing that tests our resolve and tests our vision. And so why is that important in the Christian life? I think it's important in the Christian life because ultimately our preferred future has to be, one, to help more people get to know Jesus, two, to be more like Jesus, and three, to make it to heaven. And so when we have those preferred futures in the forefront, there are also opportunities and situations that want to prevent us from meeting that preferred future as well. And, you know, Satan is not, he's not in the business of leaning back and stopping and giving up on trying to take you away from those, that vision. And so it's important to be very clear on what your vision is, even as a Christian. If you're not yet a Christian, something to think about is, how does my vision, how can my vision be more aligned with God as I seek him and figure out what his plan is for my life? Because one thing I'll tell you is that my vision for my life was nothing like it is now. But because I have God, because I've decided to make Jesus Lord, everything that I share with you about my vision for my life really stems from God. If it wasn't for if it wasn't for making it to heaven and the vision to help as many people as possible make it to heaven, then I wouldn't even have the goals to train leaders. I wouldn't have the goals to preach on six continents. I wouldn't have the goals to help people move forward. And so I'm looking at some of these comments. Y'all forgive me because they actually come in a little slower. But some of the goals: consistently study out character weaknesses in the Bible. Visit Jerusalem. Poy said he wants to visit Jerusalem and drop a music project in 2018. That's an awesome goal. It's not just because he's my best friend, but I really feel like he's one of the best rappers alive. What other goals we got? Quigs, shout out to Robert Quigley. I see you. You have definitely been doing a phenomenal job of being consistent in the gym and just growing, you know, meeting those health goals. Darius wants to have a variety positivity comedy podcast. Oh, I definitely got to tune in for that one. I will definitely be subscribing to Darius's comedy podcast. What else do we have? Lisa made a great point. In 2017, the obstacle was not having a clear vision. And that's true. If you don't know where you're going, you just won't be able to accomplish what you really want to accomplish. All right. Rhonda wants to finish her BA in early childhood education. It's never too late to do that. I believe that. Took me 11 years to finish a four-year degree. And, you know, I really learned a lot of lessons along the way, just about perseverance, about taking the time you need to regroup. I was way more focused this time around than before. Health goals. Jesus has a goal to be a better husband and father and to let God use my marriage to inspire others. That's awesome. And Jesus, you and Griselda do a great job of just helping other married couples and preparing people for marriage. You know, shout out to you too. Amen. Jason wants to create pathways to help support the marriage ministries and the men of the church. That's awesome. We always need more of that. Billy wants to be more focused on reaching out to people, possibly baptizing another cyclist. These are awesome goals. Layla wants to do a flip in 2018. All right, Layleezy. That's awesome. Mission trip to Africa, Sonya. D wants to finish her degree and become an art therapist and open an art center. That's great. So this is awesome because really it's helping us to put out there those things that we want to accomplish. And if you know anything about me, I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to ask you about it because you put it out there. And really, that's what it's about, because ultimately, as we're able to help each other be better for God and be more like Jesus and even pursue vision, it helps us to grow as a church, to grow as a ministry. So I'm glad you guys are putting these out there. Let's see what else we got. So Derek said, define vision and goals. Well, vision, like I said, for me, one of my favorite definitions is Andy Stanley's definition of vision, and that's your preferred future. Where is it that you're trying to go? You know, I look at goals, you know, as you see in my passion planner here, it makes no sense to anybody but me. But when I look at goals are those building blocks that I feel are necessary to make it to your vision. So, you know, if you're driving somewhere, you're going to take a road, one either whether it's 285, 20, 75, but your vision is your destination point, is where you're trying to get. And so, you know, I wanted to close out here. Okay, Wande, I just saw that. You better shout out your boo. Wande said he wants to be happily married and build a godly family with Takaya in 2018. So that's coming up soon. But I wanted to close out here in Luke chapter 13 in verse 31 and 32. Luke chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. Now, y'all know me, and it ain't gonna change just because we on Facebook Live. If you're there, say there. If you need some more time, say hold up. But by the time it comes up, I'm probably not gonna see you say hold up. So we're gonna go ahead and look at Luke chapter 13. Verse 31, it says, at that time, some Pharisees said to Jesus, get away from here if you want to live. Herod Antipas wants to kill you. Jesus replied, go tell that fox that I will keep on casting out demons and healing people today and tomorrow and the third day, and I will accomplish my purpose. You know, we talk about vision. We talk about wanting to accomplish things and having a preferred future. And I think that Jesus was probably one of the best vision casters there were. He was one of those people who was able to gain a following because he was very clear that his vision was to help people. His vision was to seek and save the lost. His vision was to lead people and point people to the Heavenly Father. And, you know, you see something here that I talked about earlier. Verse 31, the Pharisees basically were warning Jesus, like, hey, you're going to die. Herod wants to kill you, and he's not going to stop at anything to do that. Well, earlier I talked about how important it is to have vision, but I also talked about how there will be obstacles. There will be situations that threaten you accomplishing your goals. And really, one of the obstacles that Jesus was faced with here was the threat of death. But in 32, Jesus, you know, I'm not really going to call anybody a fox. You know, it just doesn't mean the same now. But, you know, I think Jesus got a little snippy with him. You know, he made it clear that he was going to keep pursuing his purpose. He was going to keep pursuing the vision and the desired end that God had given him. And so he made it clear, I'm going to keep healing people today, tomorrow, and the third day, and I will accomplish my purpose. And so my charge to you all today, as we move forward and we prepare for 2018, is for us to make it our mission. Whatever it is, whether it's our spiritual vision, whether it's our physical, our health vision, whether it's the vision we have for our financial lives, all of it has to come into submission to God. And ultimately, we have to follow Jesus' example in the face of adversity to say, even though I'm faced with these obstacles, I'm going to continue on the path that God has given me today, tomorrow, and the next day, until I accomplish my purpose. And so you know, let's keep sharing these visions with each other. Let's keep sharing our desired futures and preferred futures with each other, because I believe that as we get to know what each other's desired future is, we're able to help each other and push one another and propel one another to be more like Jesus, and ultimately to help more people get to know God. Amen. So let's pray. And if you have your communion, we'll take communion together and we will be done. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for being a God that leads the way. You've given us a preferred future. You've given us the hope of heaven. You've given us Jesus as an example to follow, ultimately to accomplish your purpose. God, I pray that this time is useful for us to be able to help others see you more clearly, and really to have a clear goal and vision for our lives that begins and ends with being more like your son, Jesus. We pray as we take our communion that we will just remember Jesus for who he is and continue to follow in his footsteps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.